This is episode 57 with Michelle Barr Parekh.
Are you looking for business school without the BS? Maybe you want to learn leadership from the very best. Learn how to hire, inspire, or fire. Or maybe you want to start or grow your business. Why not check out thrive15.com/nomads? Trainings are broken up into 15-minute episodes that are guaranteed to make you learn in a practical way. You can learn from world-class mentors like Lee Cockrell, David Robinson, and Michael Levine. Check it out, www.thrive15.com/nomads. Or you could just enter thrive15.com and enter the promo code NOMADS, and you should have 30 days of free access of inspired world-class training for a tenth of the cost of business school. www.thrive15.com/nomads.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxas.
Hey there, before the episode starts, I just wanted to ask a huge favor from you faithful listeners. I'd love it if you could leave a review and comment on the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just go there, you know, give it 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever you feel like, and then just leave some comments about how you feel like some of these episodes have helped you out. So, As Told by Nomads on iTunes or As Told by Nomads on Stitcher, and leave some reviews. Thank you very much, and enjoy the episode. Welcome, everybody, to As Told by Nomads. Today, I have with me Michelle Barr Parekh, and she's a fascinating individual. She founded, developed, and managed her home relocation companies from 1984. First in Amsterdam, then throughout the Netherlands, and from 2000 with Venture Capital Investment, she founded a pan-European company, Foursquare Group, with offices across Europe. She sold that in 2006 to a U.S. management company, and she's personally managed, advised, and supported relocations of many thousands of transferees of their families across the world. She's basically subject matter expert in this, and I'm so glad to have her on here. So with her profession, she mentors with workshops, trainings on running successful relocation companies, and she's helped with marketing solutions, hiring, and personal development. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you very much.
So you do a lot of relocation. Why is that something that you're focused on? And maybe to give our audience a bit about you, can you tell us what your background is and why it's so personal to you?
Well, I think that's a lovely question, because the truth of the matter is that I come from immigrant stock myself. My family fled the anti-Semitism in Russia in 1890, as many did, and came to the States or to the UK very often, and my family came to the UK. So we're a family that sounds and looks very British, but actually we, 2 generations back, we were all living in Russia. So I love that. Immigrant society is very important to our world, and I love being an immigrant. I think it gives you a certain power. I married a Dutchman when I was only 21. He brought me to Holland, new society again, and now my children and grandchildren are speaking Dutch and going to Dutch schools, and they think they're Dutch. And I love that. Why not?
Well, so they think the Dutch, they identify with the Netherlands as their home, I'm guessing?
Yes, they do. My grandchildren especially, my own children who are now in their 40s, early 40s, will say, well, and they always like to say I was born in Britain. They sound very British because as a family unit, we always spoke English, mm-hmm. but their lives are very Dutch. Mm-hmm. And my grandchildren, of course, are a watered-down version of them. They're much more Dutch, I would say. But on the other hand, who knows what the next generations will be. Yeah. So I like the idea of moving from place to place, because it's like you can observe the society and you can dare to do things that you might not be able to dare if you were part of that society forever. And I think that's what immigrants bring to any society. And I certainly did. Coming to Holland, I was miserable. I've got a huge family in London. I miss them terribly. And I made a life here for myself in a way that I, in the Netherlands, that I, because I thought to myself, it's hard to move. If it's hard for me with a loving family and all the right things, and my husband with a good job and so on, then what's wrong with me? And so from that thought came the idea there must be thousands of people out there that that also find it hard to move. So I started to do some research. I became a teacher at the International School of Amsterdam, because I am a trained teacher. And I was right. I saw many, many very unhappy people. Americans, French, Swedish. I mean, if you're Swedish and go to the International School of Amsterdam, does that help you when you've only spoken Swedish before and then you start going into an American system? No, it's not that easy. And parents worry and children worry. So that's how I, that's my background for thinking that this relocation business has a lot to do with me personally. And, you know, I'm a receptacle for all these stories and all these issues that come up and challenges, and I try to find solutions.
No, I absolutely love it. And the reason, one of the reasons I love it is because, you know, as someone who grew up in different parts of the world like you did, I'm always curious, as people always ask me this, how do you fit in? How do you find your, make yourself at home in a new country, in a new culture? But you've basically done this all your life. What have you noticed with different generations as they moved? What's the biggest pain point for them to fit in?
Well, I think that in the beginning, one doesn't know how to fit in. Mm-hmm. Then one tries to fit in. And then in the end, what happens is that you also start to understand yourself. And you say, well, I am who I am. I'm not a French person. I'm not a Dutch person. I'll never be a Dutch person. So why push it? Right. As long as I'm respectful to the society that I'm in, and I do my best to be part of that society, I think, understand the politics, speak the language. I think these things are important. But I'm me, and I bring what's me to the society. But I think everybody should aim for that, and then, but you have to have a certain confidence in who you are.
Yeah.
I think when people relocate, they often lose their identity.
Yeah, and I think it's I think it's so key when you said you become comfortable who you are, because it was the same thing for me when I first moved. I was thinking I don't fit in, I don't look like them, I don't sound like them, I have to be like one of them. And then it was so much work to just try and do that. And then when you meet someone, you're like, oh, but now I have to try and be like her. I have to try and be like him, because that's the cool person. But then I think once I became more comfortable with my global identity, regardless of where I went, it was so much easier. Because even when I came back home to Nigeria, it was that you're not this enough. You're not this enough. You sound different. What happened? And you're going to constantly have to be pleasing everybody else. And that's so much work. And it's going to lead to a lot more displeasure in you than you would actually think.
And stress. Yeah. And stress.
Yeah.
I also think that the reason why you're moving has an enormous influence on the way your life goes. I mean, if you're the person that's moving and you want to move because there's a job at the end of the rainbow or there's a university place or whatever, you move. Fine. It's just you. Great. If you take anybody else with you, they have far less attraction for going to that place.
Yes.
So you've already got a problem.
Yeah.
One wants to go and one sort of wants to go, or because they're in love or whatever the reasons, they go along. And this is where those issues really start. Because the decision maker may not be the one who's the most unhappy.
Right. Yeah. So it's the expat wives and the children's, or the expat husbands and the children. Children. I said children. Children. So how do you fill in those gaps then? Because I know that's what you focus on. You focus on filling in the gaps and what's missing. in this life. So what have you found with the spouses and the children? Like, what do you do online? Because I know you have this robust system and companies use it all the time.
An online system where people can buy help when they need it. Well, I think that when I first started in the business, I saw that corporates were not very keen to spend their money on emotional issues. And therefore, you know, you could bang your head against the wall, and if you said you've got an unhappy family, they'd go, oh dear, but they'd never put any money towards it. Whereas if you said this family need information about careers, or this family need practical guidance in getting a job done, they were much more willing to participate in the support. So all my support is practical based. Of course, there's a lot of listening and a lot of that's on a personal level. But to make this work into a business, which is what I've done, I make sure that the people that have moved get practical help so they can help themselves. Because all this, all the buddy systems and the friendships and asking people at work or asking somebody's personal assistant, do you know where this is and that is? It's absolutely not the way to go. You need independent advice that's up to date and local in order to start integrating into the society. And that's how I've done it, from a very practical point of view and not dwelling too much on the emotional, because then you become like a social worker, and it's nice to be a social worker, but it's not what I do.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. I try to help people to help themselves.
And I think that's a lot of the things of, you know, a lot of companies miss because they don't try to help people help themselves. They try to be that person. You're never going to get there because they need to be able to do it on their own, because they're going to move again. And then what are you going to do then? So what happens then?
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's completely true. And I mean, but the corporates just look at everything. I mean, with respect, they just look at everything from a financial point of view. And they only start getting twitchy. They only start getting twitchy when they realize that that person might actually pack up and go, when they've just spent 2 years settling them into their new home. And that's a big blow for everybody, because this sort of failure costs tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, it just does. So better be a little bit prepared and make sure the family is the right one to move, and then when the family move, that they get the right support. That's what I think. And
Now, can you talk to me? Can you tell me a story about a time you had to go through that? And because you said you moved.
Yeah.
Were there like times when it was so difficult for you and you overcame it somehow with one of your principals?
Yes. I overcame it because I realized that you have to stay true to yourself. And but of course, you doubt yourself very much, and you hang on the coattails of your partner or your children rather than be totally independent, because you say, I couldn't possibly do that because I could pick up my children from school, and I can't try that because my children need me, or I have to, you know, you throw stones in front of your path on every way rather than face the reality. So for me, I used to sit and worry. I used to think to myself, if something happened to me today, if I was run over by a tram, nobody would know who I am. Nobody would have any clue where I lived. You know, I don't have any family here except, you know, my husband and my children. My children were at school. And I used to feel very, very isolated and very lonely. And then you start to make friends, and you make friends with anybody who speaks English, basically, or French or Italian, rather than face the truth, which is Dutch people in my instance, or any other nationality. So what you do is, for a while, you get some strength from being with your own group. But the problem with that is, the longer you stay in a place, sticking to your own group is only protection for a short time. Because to really be happy in a new place, you have to take the step from your own group into the real world that's outside that. And that takes at least a year, and I would say 18 months.
Wow. So 12 to 18 months. So yeah, and that's really entrenching yourself in society. So not shying away from the people and not finding your comfort zone by saying, "Oh, only English people," and staying in that bubble, right? Or whatever language you speak.
Yes, well, it's comforting for a bit, mm-hmm. but it doesn't take you very far if you really want to integrate and enjoy the new society. It only takes you, it gives you a bit of confidence, gives you a girlfriend or whatever, but it doesn't take you far into the society. And I think to really enjoy life in a new place, you have to really be in the society.
I agree. And I will say it's the same. It's almost a very similar experience for international students, because I deal with a lot of international students, and when a lot of them come to the States, I did as well. I've been an international student since I was 10, so I've had to do this a lot. It does take as long as you said, 12 to 18 months, but that difficult time, even though it's uncomfortable, is what actually gets you through. Because this is what you need to go through. You need to actually experience that discomfort, because once you overcome that, it actually does more good than you think it is. Because now when I look back, I'm like, I thought it was the worst time in my life, but look at me now. Now I can overcome that. Now I'm easily able to adapt. A lot more than I would have done.
But I think, you know something, I mean, on a serious side, you can have, "I'm just a bit unhappy and I'll get through it, and wasn't that a funny time?" But I have seen people who are genuinely, desperately unhappy. Marriages fail very often. Mm-hmm. Partnerships fail. Let's be serious. Suicides, attempted suicides, these are all drinking too much.
Right.
All these things are a result of not eventually settling into the community. So yes, I agree with you, Teo, that I think that hard times make you stronger. But some people really do have hard times.
No. I can't even imagine a lot of things you said. And when you've had those people come to you, what was the advice you gave them? Because I mean, suicide, drinking, those have lots of layers. It's not like, it's not a fix all. You can't do that. You know, that could lead to, you know, depression, addiction, and things like that. That takes years to get over.
Yes. Well, what did I say to them? Well, what you can fall into the trap in my position, and that's just my position, of becoming a counselor or a life coach or that sort of thing. But like I said, I also want to give people the facts about how they can help themselves. So if I think I'm a very sympathetic person, but I try not to be all things to all these people, because then I would end up being a social worker and running a business. But on top of that, I don't think I have a right to help them, but I can tell them where they can be helped. No. So I would usually listen and then say, well, I think this is the sort of person you should talk to. Shall I look up the number? Shall I find, you know, whatever? Because unless you can give a practical solution, I'm not a trained therapist, so I wouldn't want to get into things. I mean, in the beginning, we all get involved in other people's lives, especially when we're young, and that's okay, but I'm not sure that even a best friend is the right person to help someone who's drinking too much or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's a lot of layers, and I think they have to. It might need a lot more than that, and not enabling.
Yes.
You got to make sure they're not enabled. Okay. Now, I want you to walk me through your mom and your grandmom. How does that work when you're dealing with several cultures? How did you? Because I am fascinated, because a lot of people talk to, when I do a lot of interviews, and they talk about their kids, how they raise their kids, and then their kids, they see their kids going through the similar things they went through. Well, how's that for you when you're looking at that? Are you like, oh, you know, this is what to do?
There's certain points that I would say, like when my children went to school in Holland, of course they started to learn Dutch very quickly, but living in a country is not about learning the language only, because they would come home and they would say, "My queen and my, you know, my prime minister," and I'm saying, "No, it's not your queen, because our queen is Queen Elizabeth." And then I realize, of course, you know, I can't. And that's just the jokey stuff. But you have to sort out for yourself how much you're going to influence your children's life when they're learning. Because my children learned to read and write in Dutch, so I couldn't help them with reading and writing. I couldn't help them with their homework. I couldn't help them with their history. So mummy becomes totally obsolete for a while. And actually, I never got onto a level, I speak fluent Dutch now, but I never got onto a level where I was that useful for my children. But I have a lovely partner. So he did a lot of the school stuff so that the children didn't feel neglected. So that's what worked for me. And as the children grew, in the beginning, they were very, very embarrassed to have a mother who spoke English. But into their late teens and 20s, they were proud of having an English mother because it was different. It was cool, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that both my children speak completely fluent English with no hint of an accent makes them, it gives them an added skill in life. And I'm a positive person, so I never look at anything you do as being negative. It always has a positive side.
Gotcha.
With my grandchildren, they're one generation removed, so they speak Dutch more than they speak English, but I remain English and I speak to them only in English, and their English is pretty good. I read to them in English, I talk to them in English, and they are going to one day appreciate that there's an English stream going through them, even though they're Dutch.
I love it. And the thing that you said there was the skill. How do global nomads and immigrants and third culture kids have skills? Because I find that sometimes we're not aware of the skill sets we have and how it applies to our lives, our work lives, and just general social life. And a lot of times, a lot of literature is written about the negatives, but I'm trying to see if you can highlight the positive aspects of the mindset of a nomad or an immigrant and how that can be applied. What have you noticed?
Well, I noticed that you have to be confident. I think confidence is a very big thing. I think that, you know, you're either born with confidence or you're not, but you can gain confidence. You shouldn't doubt yourself. Global nomads tend to find it very hard to put down roots, for example. They're not quite sure of where they belong. And there's something exciting and cool about that, but they're also insecure, and I would tell them, it doesn't matter where your feet are, you're as good as anybody else in that society. And I think that's what they have to learn, or behave in a certain way. So yeah, that's what I think. I think it's confidence, and they need to understand enough about the society they're living in to be able to operate in it properly. So, you know, they shouldn't be, I mean, we all see and we all hear about immigrant societies where the mothers and the grandmothers don't speak a word of the local language and the children do. So the children are the teachers or the educators or the guides to the mothers and the grandmothers. Well, I think that's wrong, you see. I'm very much in favor of everybody throwing themselves into the country and the culture that they're at. And those are the skills, to understand the politics, to know if you pick up a newspaper, you know what's happening. And it's not about if you're really good at the language or really, it's about being comfortable with what you know and being proud of what you know and just being able to understand how the society fits together. I think it's good to know how the society fits together. That would be a skill.
Yeah.
But how you learn to belong in that society, I think that's harder.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds like you're saying confidence, a combination of confidence and self-awareness and just willingness to explore that curiosity.
Yeah.
Curiosity will help.
Yeah.
In any way. And the thing is, there's no generic one answer for all nomads, because everybody has, you'd be surprised to find out what you unlock by discovering yourself and putting yourself in these situations. But it's a matter of you actually being open to being in those situations and exploring them.
Yes. Well, the thing is, Teo, not everyone's like you and me. You know, we have a mouth in us. We ask questions. Never be afraid to ask a question. Never be afraid of appearing stupid. Because I've met a lot of stupid people. So I never take that stuff. I just think no question is too small. Find out what you can. Don't be afraid to ask. These are things that will give you a place in the society. Yeah.
That's it. All right. Okay. So let's turn the show over to you. Where can we find out what you're doing? What's more exciting? How can people sign up for your website and what type of companies and people are you looking for so we can spread the word?
Well, what it is that I put all the things people need practically when they relocate online. And my company is called relocateyourselves.com. So that means that you can relocate yourself and you come online and you, through a process, you think, well, I might need to change my driving license, or I'm moving to Lagos and I need someone to help me find a house, or I'm moving to Russia and I need language lessons. It really doesn't matter. You buy a chunk of time from me. And through that buying that chunk of time, which is very affordable, so I don't go in for the big prices that normal relocation companies would go in for, I, through the system, hook you up with somebody local who I've trained and who is probably also in the relocation business, because that's the sort of person I'm looking for, someone who's lived for a time in another country and helped other people. And that person would simply, through the online system, help you with whatever you needed to get done. And it would be a shared process. So the person, the consultant, would help the family by saying, try this, go there, here's the phone number, good luck. And the person who'd relocated would say, I really can't do this very well, could you do this for me? And pay an hour of time, or 2 hours of time, or 5 hours of time, to get the help they really need, because they either can't do it or they have no time for it, or their corporate who brought them to that place will pay for them. So that's what I'm looking for. And what I'm looking for is local people who've either worked in relocation or in the hospitality industry, or teachers or nurses, or a profession that looks after others and that knows their location well enough to be able to help others. So I do have a sort of testing, you know, how much do you know kind of entrance. And the things they don't know, my head office will try and help them with. So that's also a possibility. But I'm looking for people with a little bit of time who want to make extra money, but people who are caring, understanding, intelligent, and know how to at least operate a very simple system on the computer. Oh, and I call them relocation angels. And yes, I know I've got a lot of stick from that. Some people say, oh my god, that's terrible, relocation.
No, it's not.
But I like it, and everyone uses it now without too much trouble. But I'm looking for relocation consultants or angels or guides who can look after someone in their location well for a fee, and they will look after them in whatever way the corporate has asked or the family has asked. It's a lovely job. I mean, I do it all the time and I love it, but I don't do it in Lagos and I don't do it in Barcelona and I don't do it in Rome and I don't do it in Washington, but I have people already that do. And I'm building up this enormous network of hundreds of relocation angels, so people moving will always have a relocation angel near them and can buy a piece of time from them and get help. That's my dream.
Well, I will certainly do my best to spread the word about it, and I think it's gonna be great. I think it's a great initiative and great idea, and we'll try and get more angels. I do like that name, more angels out there, more relocation angels. But I can't leave without actually asking you how you use your difference to make a difference. You know, that's the premise of the company, and and you're certainly one that does.
It's my difference to make a difference.
Yep.
Well, I guess being just happening to be a confident person. I can't help it. That was how my family made me. I would say that I ask the awkward questions on behalf of my clients. I tell them the truth. And I help them to find a good path for themselves, so that their lives will have, you know, make a difference to them. Because not everyone's confident. There's a lot of insecure people that have to move. They're lonely. They have all these issues. And I do my best to give them the tools to make them settle down well. That's as simple as that.
Gotcha. No, that's good. And I'm glad that you do so, because that's one of the ways we connected at the conference. And I can't wait to see more work about this. I will once again put all the links and information to, you know, get in Relocation Angels and about you and your company on the show notes. And then and we'll make sure we get this out there.
But thank you.
I want to thank you for the time.
And I thank you for being the spokesperson for all the younger people that really need to understand what it is to cross culture. So I'm pleased you're there.
Thank you so much. Well. I really appreciate it.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.